Let us turn to the book of Leviticus and read from chapter 7. Leviticus chapter 7. Let us read and hear the word of God. Likewise, this is the law of the trespass offering. It is most holy. In the place where they kill the burnt offering, shall they kill the trespass offering. And the blood thereof shall he sprinkle round about upon the altar. And he shall offer of it all the fat thereof, the ram, and the fat that covereth the inwards, and the two kidneys, and the fat that is on them, which is by the flanks, and the caul that is above the liver, with the kidneys it shall he take away. And the priest shall burn them upon the altar for an offering made by fire unto the Lord. It is a trespass offering. Every male among the priests shall eat thereof. It shall be eaten in the holy place. It is most holy. As the sin offering is, so is the trespass offering. There is one law for them. The priest that maketh atonement therewith shall have it. And the priest that offereth any man's burnt offering, even the priest shall have to himself the skin of the burnt offering which he has offered. And all the meat offering that is baken in the oven, and all that is dressed in the frying pan and in the pan, shall be the priest that offers it. And every meat offering mingled with oil and dry shall all the sons of Aaron have, one as much as another. And this is the law of the sacrifice of peace offerings, which he shall offer unto the Lord. If he offer it for a thanksgiving, then he shall offer with a sacrifice of thanksgiving unleavened cakes mingled with oil, and unleavened wafers anointed with oil, and cakes mingled with oil of fine flour fried. Besides the cakes, he shall offer for his offering leavened bread with a sacrifice of thanksgiving of his peace offerings. And of it he shall offer one out of the whole oblation for an heave offering unto the Lord. And it shall be the priests that sprinkleth the blood of the peace offerings. And the flesh of the sacrifice of his peace offerings for thanksgiving shall be eaten the same day that it is offered. He shall not leave any of it until the morning. But if the sacrifice of his offering be a vow or a voluntary offering, it shall be eaten the same day that he offereth his sacrifice. And on the morrow also the remainder of it shall be eaten. But the remainder of the flesh of the sacrifice on the third day shall be burned with fire. And if any of the flesh of the sacrifice of his peace offerings be eaten at all on the third day, it shall not be accepted, neither shall it be imputed unto him that offereth it. It shall be an abomination, and the soul that eateth of it shall bear his iniquity. And the flesh that touches any unclean thing shall not be eaten, it shall be burned with fire. And as for the flesh, all that be clean shall eat thereof. But the soul that eateth of the flesh of the sacrifice of peace offerings, that pertain unto the Lord, having his uncleanness upon him, even that soul shall be cut off from his people. Moreover, the soul that shall touch any unclean thing, as the uncleanness of man, or any unclean beast, or any abominable unclean thing, and eat of the flesh of the sacrifice of peace offerings, which pertain unto the Lord, even that soul shall be cut off from his people. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, Ye shall eat no manner of fat, or ox, or of sheep, or of goat. And the fat of the beast that dieth of itself, and the fat of that which is torn with beasts, may be used in any other use, but ye shall in no wise eat of it. For whosoever eateth the fat of the beast, of which men offer an offering, made by fire unto the Lord, even the soul that eateth it shall be cut off from his people. Moreover, he shall eat no manner of blood, whether it be of fowl, of beast, or of beast, in any of your dwellings. Whatsoever soul it be that eateth any manner of blood, even that soul shall be cut off from his people. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, He that offereth the sacrifice of his peace offerings unto the Lord shall bring his oblation unto the Lord of the sacrifice of his peace offerings. His own hands shall bring the offerings of the Lord made by fire. The fat with the breast it shall he bring, that the breast may be waved for a wave offering before the Lord. And the priest shall burn the fat upon the altar, but the breast shall be Aaron's and his sons. And the right shoulder shall ye give unto the priest for an heave offering of the sacrifices of your peace offerings. He among the sons of Aaron that offereth the blood of the peace offerings and the fat shall have the right shoulder for his part. For the wave breast and the heave shoulder have I taken of the children of Israel from off the sacrifices of their peace offerings, and have given them unto Aaron the priest and unto his sons by a statute forever from among the children of Israel. This is the portion of the anointing of Aaron and of the anointing of his sons out of the offerings of the Lord made by fire, in the day when he presented them to minister unto the Lord in the priest's office, which the Lord commanded to be given them of the children of Israel, in the day that he anointed them by a statute forever throughout their generations. This is the law of the burnt offering, of the meat offering, and of the sin offering, and of the trespass offering, and of the consecrations, and of the sacrifice of the peace offerings, which the Lord commanded Moses in Mount Sinai, in the day that he commanded the children of Israel to offer their oblations unto the Lord in the wilderness of Sinai. Amen. May the Lord bless his word to us all. Well, here we have this lengthy passage. And the reason I've combined this together is because it's mainly a recap of many details of the offerings that we have been noticing, that we have been studying from the beginning of the book up until chapter 5 or the beginning of 6. And you remember all the various offerings and the various reasons for the various occasions where the Lord commanded his people to approach him, to go to him, and how to present themselves in the presence of the Lord. But you may have noticed, this is a special portion that is has begun with this commandment, verse 8 of chapter 6. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command Aaron and his sons, saying, This is the law of this and this and this. So the Lord is addressing not only as previously describing the sacrifices, all the people, but here he is addressing specifically the priests, and he's telling them how to handle these sacrifices, what to do, exactly what to do. Now, I know this is obviously quite difficult for us in our own setting to grasp exactly what all these details meant. And I can't deny, to be honest with you, I was scratching my head many times this week going through all these things. We won't look at all the details because it's quite impossible in a short time like this. But all I'm trying to do with God's help is to point our attention and remember us all basically what the Lord is teaching us through the Lord Jesus Christ. Because as you remember, what we have learned so far is that all these things are only a picture of the true sacrifice that will have to come in those days. These people were only offering animals and sacrifices so often and so many times. So much blood was shed all the time. But it was not this exactly that was forgiving their sins. You remember we have read this sometimes in the Psalms, but also especially in the New Testament. When you read Hebrews, you have so much light upon all these things. And we are told now the Messiah has come. Now the true sacrifice has been offered. And that is the Lord Jesus. And so it is the same when we have learned about the tabernacle. You remember building up the tabernacle in Exodus. So many things were pointing and helping us to see who? Children. The Lord Jesus. When you look at the tabernacle, when you see the reason why God told Israel, build up this, and that's how you can approach me. That's where you are to worship. That's where I am. That's where I'm dwelling. The tabernacle was in all the details, even the coverings. You remember the coverings of the tent, which was outward looking so unpleasant, perhaps so normal, made by skin, but inside it was all glorious, filled with gold. And the priest who went inside was amazed to see the very place where God promised to be there, to dwell there. And so we have nothing else than the idea of the incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here, dwelling in this world with his body of flesh, just like you and me, but yet inside the glorious Son of God. So that's just an example, but everywhere we see a reason for God to give these commandments. Much of these things may still remain quite a mystery to us, perhaps. But yet, what we are to learn is to remember that the Lord Jesus has come, that the Lamb was slain, that the presence of God indeed was here in this world and is promised to come and dwell in the hearts of those who believe in him. And so in this portion, there we have mainly addressing the priest. And there again, even in the person of the priest, who are we to remember and look at? Again, at the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only the tabernacle, not only the sacrifices, but also the priest. Everywhere we learn aspects of the incarnation of the Lord, of his work, of his salvation. So, although there are many details that are repeated and are referring to the sacrifices that we have already learned, perhaps we should try and make an effort. Well, I've tried actually to do this. I'm not sure how well, but especially to see what is the work of the priest in preparing all these sacrifices, and what was the meaning, what was, if we think of the Lord Jesus Christ, what was achieved, what is achieved by his priesthood. Because here, remember, is the priest offering these sacrifices and going into the tabernacle for these offerings. And so we are to remember that's a picture of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done. All these various offerings and all these laws are, in fact, describing some aspect of the work of God in Christ. So I'm hoping to at least draw from each of these portions describing these laws of these various offerings something that we can remember about the priesthood of Christ, about his sacrifice and what he is doing. Now these things are five and are obviously running through chapter 6 to 7. Perhaps not so much the last portion of chapter 7. We may say something else in the future. But so I have in mind here the perfect priest. This is the laws. This is the law that God has given to Aaron and his sons, and that's what they are doing. They are picturing for us the priesthood, what the Lord Jesus has been doing, or and is doing for all his people, giving them access to the presence of God and all the various things that we'll see. The first one is from verse 8 through 13 in chapter 6. All these laws for all these various offerings. Now the first offering that we are told is what we have already met in the past few chapters, and that is the burnt offering. You remember this was to offer and give and procure satisfaction for sin. This was the meaning of the fire burning all night unto the morning. The fire on the altar shall be burning all the time. It was, you remember, when Israel met the fire, when the Israel heard God speaking, and when they sinned, what happened? The wrath of God in the form of fire would destroy sinners. They were fearful when they heard the tremor of the land and the mountain of Sinai, and the fire being on the mountain there. The people were fearful and scared. They knew God was there. He is a burning fire. You can't approach him. Yet, that's why the Lord provided the burnt offering. An animal was brought, the sacrifice was there, brought on the altar, but completely consumed. And that was the judgment that should have happened to the sinner, but there was a substitute there. The priest would have to follow all these clear details and commandment, and that's what he was doing. He was providing, let's say, this perfect payment for the sins of the people. There was, if you want here, reminded of the atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ and the way he was completely consumed by God's wrath there on the cross to pay for your sin. In that dealings with the burnt offering, Aaron and his sons were providing a perfect payment for the sins of the people and for themselves. So when you think of the Lord offered on the cross, that's what he was doing. He was fulfilling this aspect of the burnt offering. God's wrath over sin was satisfied. Christ's death made atonement for sin in that one sacrifice. But also, when you read on, we have found from verse 14 the second aspect, which is I've called here this perfect purity of the priest, because that's the way he was consecrating himself, and the offering there from verse 14 is called the grain offering or the meat offering. And we are told, if you remember from this sacrifice, from this offering, there was a sweet aroma going up to the Lord. It was for a sweet savor to the Lord upon the altar. It was to be eaten in part by the priest. It was there was a portion for him, but it had to be received there in the holy place. It was a holy offering. There had to be no leaven, which meant that there was no sin, there was no impurity there. So with this That's what the priest would be reminded of being pure and holy, considered holy and fit for the service of the Lord, to be at His presence, offering this meat offering and also receiving back part of it for Himself. You may want to think about the Lord Jesus' sacrifice as the sacrifice that was given up to the Lord as His own Son, pure, sinless, without spot, and accepted by the Father completely. So there is an aspect here in this second detail of the offerings about the perfect purity of the priest before the Lord. So payment, purity, but also from verse 24 we have read of what previously was described the sin offering. So the sin offering here is described how it has to be handled. The sin offering again had this aspect of specific sin to be dealt with. There was reconciliation when someone had sinned and wanted to specifically confess and have reconciliation from this before God. We may say this is where we have perfect propitiation, this difficult word that in the New Testament means to turn sin away from the eyes of the Lord, to propitiate, to make peace with God through this offering, where there is so much spoken of the blood that shall be, that has to be sprinkled, even if this blood which was to cover sin had to be if it was reaching some of the garment, it has had to be washed. When the earthen vessel that contained this blood had to be afterward had to be broken, and if the vessel was of brazen, it had to be rinsed with water and cleansed from that blood that was the symbol of covering sin and offered to God as a propitiation for sin. That's what the Lord Jesus has done. In offering His blood, He had made peace with the Father in your place. God's anger, God's eyes were turned away from your sins, and peace has been achieved. Not only then we reach chapter 7, where we have, we may say, perfect penitence. So we said payment, the payment for sins, purity, then propitiation for sin, and then penitence for sin. This is called the law from verse 1 to the end of 10 in chapter 7. We have all the details regarding the trespass offering, which is obviously similar to the sin offering. But what we have noticed last week from the beginning of chapter 6, it was more to do with the guilt of sin, even sins that were not known. The fact and the truth that you and I are guilty, not only because we confess one sin, we realize that we have committed sin, but even when we don't realize of having sinned. And the Lord, if you remember in the details of the trespass offering, the Lord was providing in His grace and mercy even a sacrifice, a trespass offering, even when you had committed a sin of ignorance. No one in Israel could say, well, I didn't know I had mistaken and offended God. Well, yes, you didn't know, but still you had sinned. And the Lord provided the trespass offering for this, so that no one had to die if they had the faith to provide this. So here is the priest and pointing to Christ, causing his people and reminding them of perfect penitence. So, meaning the desire for mourning and for repentance and for confession of being sinners in our nature. In the description of this offering, the procedure for it, there was blood again to be sprinkled around the altar. But there is no share for the priest, like in the other offering, for example, the peace offering or other. There was no joy in this offering. It was just a realization of the nature and the of the sinner. There was no part for the fat and the kidneys. We read that they had to be removed. Well, what we have learned in the past was that these two things were commonly known as the best part of the animal. The fat had to be burned with the idea that the Lord was receiving the best part, the symbol of the most important part of the animal. And in other offering it was brought to the Lord, but here had to be removed. It was a sign of perfect repentance and penitence and confession and mourning for the nature of the sinner. And so the kidneys in Israel there, they were important portions of the animal, of the body. The kidneys were, like the heart, considered the seat of the emotions and the feelings. And at this sacrifice, in this offering, these had to be removed. There was no affection or joy, but it was only a description of what we may say Christ had suffered for sin, for your sins. Here is the priest active in this trespass offering, and all these details obviously were pointing to some aspect of this. When we read Hebrews and we are reminded of the perfect sacrifice of Christ, is it not the writer telling his people, those who are believers, those who take seriously the sacrifice of Christ, are warned not to take sin lightly, but rather repent continually and remember how precious the blood of Christ is. So, perfect payment, purity, propitiation, penitence, but also the last portion of the chapter up to verse 21 at least, then we have various warnings at the end. But regarding the offerings, we are told of the perfect peace received by this peace offering. There was also this aspect to be considered, not only mourning and sadness for sin, but also the peace offering. This is detailed into three aspects. There is or three occasions where this offering had to be brought to the Lord. And one is in verse 11, clearly said, if he offered it for a thanksgiving. So if he had some special provision received from the Lord, if he had been delivered by some ill or some evil, there was this attitude of thanksgiving toward the Lord. And so that's what Aaron and his sons had to do. But also there was another aspect when sometimes from verse 16, this is described as a time when there was a vow taken to the Lord, or there was a voluntary offering specifically out of free will, sometimes this is contemplated, as we have seen in the offering itself. When a man or a woman, someone in a special time or for a special occasion, he decided to make a promise to the Lord, to make a vow, then he had this opportunity to offer this peace offering in connection with this promise. Or out of free will, if he had to rejoice for the work of the Lord, for some occasions in the past where God had dealt graciously or had given answer to prayer, for example, well, he would go to the priest and offer a peace offering. And that's causing us to think about the Lord, how freely and willingly he had come and had fulfilled his work and offered all of himself and fulfilled all the law in your place, even before you had a clue of what was happening, even before God called you, even when you were in your trespasses, dead in your trespasses and sins, the Lord had opened the way for you. And so you are called to offer your life as a thanksgiving to the Lord, as a free will offering to him who has died in your place. Psalm 54, for example, gives this word of the psalmist in the Old Testament as well there, when he says, I will freely sacrifice unto thee. I will praise thy name, O Lord, for it is good. For he has delivered me out of trouble. Well, there's a godly man who in the Old Testament saw Christ by faith, understood by faith the work of the priests and the meanings of these offerings, bringing to him perfect payment for his sins, perfect propitiation for sin, perfect purity in him, perfect peace, and a desire to praise his name, a desire to stand before his holiness in his presence, and as in Psalm 84 we have sung, a delight to be in the tabernacles of the Lord. That meant in the presence of the Lord, the burning fire who would destroy all sinners. In his mercy, these people, all those who trust in him, in Christ, can see his work, his perfect work as a perfect priest that can bring you in the presence of God. Will you not be rejoicing tonight? Will you not approach the Lord in confession of your sins and receiving his peace before God's very presence, delighting in spending your life and approaching the presence of God because of all that he has done?